know the church is the bride of Christ. That is, Jesus is the bridegroom of the church. And the Bible teaches that Jesus is coming back for the bride, us, the church, not brick and mortar, not nails and wood, but we, the people of God, the ecclesia, the called out ones. The Lord is going to return for his bride. We are the bride of Christ. And I'm so thankful to God that the church is important to Jesus. He loved the church. And Paul made it very clear in the book of Ephesians that he loved the church and gave himself for it. And I love the church too, because God's put a love in my heart for his church and a love for the people of God. And I appreciate you so much being here. And speaking of the church, how many know last week it was cold, amen? According to the paper, it was 8 degrees in Monticello, Georgia. 8 degrees now. He said it's as cold as it's been in decades. Some said even more than that. Anyway, Monday night and Tuesday morning, the temperature dropped so very low. And Tuesday, I was busy and working. And anyway, I had felt impressed of the Lord to come swing back by the church in afternoon of Tuesday, that real cold morning, you remember. And something just prompted me to come back by the church. It was about 4 o'clock, about that time, 4:15, somewhere around that neighborhood. And for some reason, I came through this door, the double door, glass door, rather than going into the office area, which I normally just come to the office area and such. But anyway, came to the double doors, unlocked the door, set the alarm. And I looked down the hall, and I saw a sight that wasn't too pretty. It was water coming out of the nursery room into the carpet. I mean, no, that's not good. And as I got closer to the carpet, I could hear this psh sound. I mean, no, that's not good when you hear a psh sound. And as I got closer to the carpet, right there at that last nursery room on the right, going down the hall in the new building, I looked in the nursery room, and water was standing ankle deep in the nursery room. I know that's not good. And I stopped and looked in the other room next to the nursery room. I backed up, opened the door, and there water had gone under the wall and was standing ankle deep in that room too. So I walked and backed up to the third room, and by that time water had seeped under the wall, and it was not ankle deep all the way, but it was getting there. And so I said, oh my soul, what am I going to do? And so I pulled my pants up and waded through the 30-degree water, and with shoes and socks soaking wet, got to where the leak was at under the sink in that in the nursery area, and saw where the water was spewing all over the place. And I began to think, well, Lord, I know what I need to do. I need to cut the water off. So I ran out there and to the well pump and turned the water off and came back in and said, what in the world am I going to do? And so got a broom and got some mops and began and called Brother Mike Busby. I said, Mike, we got a leak in the church. And he said, I'll be there in just a little while. And so anyway, with mops and brooms, opened the doors and just began to just mop all the water out. And lo and behold, it's amazing what a mop can do and a broom can do. I mean, that water, every bit of it, you can't even tell the water was even in both of those rooms. We mopped it all out and pushed it all out and then fixed the little part, capped it off under the sink. And I said all that to say, it's a good thing I came on Tuesday. Had we showed up Wednesday morning, Sister Becky, this church would have been underwater. It would have been underwater. And, you know, I got to thinking, Brother David, I think we'll rename those Sunday school classes down there. Let's call it Noah's Ark, all right? That last one, it survived the flood. We could really call it Shem, Ham, and Japheth, those three classes, you know, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. But anyway, in all seriousness, though, But the church is important to the Lord Jesus. How many had a leak at your house? Let me see your hand. Did you have a leak at your house? I know a lot of plumbers were mighty busy last week. But I want to preach today on the subject of reasons to rejoice. reasons to rejoice. And let me just paint a little bitty allegory picture of a story I came across that so beautifully portrays what our relationship is with our bridegroom. We are the bride of Christ, the church is. We'll look at a text in a moment. In fact, it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife had made herself ready. We'll see it in a moment. But let me just tell you this allegory of a woman who lived way back in the woods. She lived in a secluded place out in a cabin by herself. That's what she wanted. That's what she liked. And every once in a while, she had to go to town to get supplies. She would go to town, get groceries, but then it wouldn't be very long after she would retreat back to her secluded, isolated place in the woods. Every once in a while, she'd get lonely, and she'd go into town and watch a movie. It would have some male actors in the movie, and she would go home to her house, seeing she was by herself. She would dream about marrying one of those male actors in the movie. She was very lonely, but she didn't get married at that time. One day, a cold snap happened, and she was out there working on the well. The well had frozen up, the temperatures had dropped much like last week, and she was working on the bucket of the well, and there was some ice around the well. And so she leaned forward, leaning over to try to redo the rope that had frayed on the well bucket. But in the process, she fell head first into the well, but as she was falling, she managed to grab a hold of the rope. And had she not have grabbed the rope as she was falling in, she'd have fallen all the way down to the well, and it would have been inevitable. She probably would have died. And so she's hanging on for dear life to the rope, and the rope is frayed. She can imagine it won't be long. Nobody knows she's out there, and it won't be long. The rope is going to break, and down, down, down. She's going to fall into the well, and no one would ever know any different. And as she's hanging on for dear life to the rope, all of a sudden, suddenly a man shows up. I mean, it was amazing. A man looked into the well. He said to the woman, he wrapped the chain around his hand. He said, here, take a hold of this chain. I will help you. He said, let go of the rope and take a hold of this chain. Trust me, I'll help you. So she let go of the rope with her hand and grabbed a hold of his hand with the chain in his hand. And by that time, the chain had tightened up on his hand, and blood began to seep out of the chain and drip down from his hand onto her hand. But it wasn't very long after that he managed to pull her up out of that well and rescue her. He was her savior. He was her rescuer. He delivered her from a terrible death. As she looked in his eyes, she saw something different about this man. He was not like an ordinary man. She could sense in her heart that this man wanted a relationship with her. He wanted intimacy, a relationship. He had some kind of love about him that no other man ever had. And so it wasn't very long after they went to town and were married and joined together husband and wife. And so after the wedding, they retreated back to her little cabin out in the woods. Everything went fine for a little while, and it wasn't very long after that she got busy working in the garden and repairing her fence and projects around the house. And she got preoccupied being busy at her house to the point that she neglected her husband. He wanted to spend time with her, but she was preoccupied about this and about that and about fixing the fence and about working in the garden. And the next thing you know, she just doesn't have time for him anymore. Once upon a time, they spent time, but now she's so busy doing other things. He says to her, I'm going to go prepare a place for you, a mansion. He said, I'll be back. I'm going to prepare a mansion for you. And so she's busy all the time. However, he comes back at nighttime. But by that time at night, she's busy reading. She don't have time to spend with him. She's, again, just consumed with things to do. Are you getting the picture? She's so busy that there's a disconnect in the relationship. He really wants to spend time with her. He really wants to have intimacy with her. He really desires a relationship with her. And it's not intentional. It just so happens that she's got other things going on, that she's just busy. Years pass by like that. And finally, as an older woman, her hair is snow white, and she's standing out in the yard one day, and a man she notices comes galloping up on a milk white stallion. She wonders, who in the world could that be? Is a man that's got frosty white hair? His eyes are like a flame of fire. She can't quite figure out who it is. And finally, when he makes his way up to where she's at on this milk white stallion, he looks down, she looks up, and she recognizes it's her husband. It's the one that saved her. It's the one that rescued her and brought her out from destruction into safety. And he reaches down his hand. She can see the scars in his hand. Hello. And he pulls her up on the white horse. He said, I want to take you to your mansion. And away they got up on this milk-white stallion into the sunset. And it's not very long afterwards they come upon this great big mansion. He said, here, this is yours. She cannot believe her eyes. She is breathless. She is speechless. She doesn't know what to say. It's so beautiful. And as they stop, he sweeps her off her feet, and across the threshold, he carries her and says, here, this is your mansion. Immediately, she's filled with remorse. She's filled with regret. She knows that she neglected her relationship with this husband for years and years and years. And she says, you know, I feel terrible about this beautiful mansion now I've got. And I've not really paid you much attention all these years. He looks at her and says, things are different now. He says to her, this is your new home. I've loved you from day one, and I love you now. And I will love you throughout all eternity. Welcome to your new home. I just described to you our relationship with Jesus. And so often we get busy in this old world. He's coming back for us to take us to a mansion. You believe that? Oh, but he loves us, and he wants us to stay connected. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 19. In the book of Revelation, chapter 19, we begin reading in verse 7. If you'd like, you can stand as we read the wonderful word of God today. Think for a moment with me, reasons to rejoice. Revelation 19 and verse number 7. Here is this futuristic event that will indeed take place. Somewhere in the near future, Jesus is coming again for his church, the bride of Christ, and we're going to be raised together with him. We're going to spend throughout all eternity with our living Lord. How many believe that we ought to get closer to him now? How many have been neglecting him lately? How many have been busy, so busy, and he's knocking and he's saying, won't you spend some time with me? Won't you take some time aside outside of church and just spend some time with me, basking in my presence, listening to my word, drinking in my creation, worshiping me for who I am? Will you take some time today? Are you so busy, preoccupied? Are we so consumed with the things of this world that we have disconnected in our love relationship with Jesus? In the book of Revelation, chapter 19, of course, follows chapter 1 through verse chapter 18, and the rapture of the church has already occurred. I believe personally in chapter 19, here's what's called the marriage of the Lamb. We're going to be married to Jesus forever and ever and ever, the church of the living God. There is a marriage supper awaiting one day in the sweet by and by. I'm looking forward to it. Can I get a witness? Oh, listen, brother, the best is yet to come. Sister, the best is yet to come. I know you've been depressed. I know you've been down, but you don't have to stay that way. There's reasons to rejoice. Here the false church has been overthrown in chapter 17. Commercial Babylon has fallen, chapter 18. And the devil and the false prophet and the beast are shortly going to be confined to the lake of fire. We come to the chapter 19. Here is that heavenly scene after the rapture of the church, the judgment seat of Christ, the bema. Then comes the marriage of the Lamb. Chapter 19, verse 7, if you're there, say amen. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. Notice, let us be glad and rejoice. Let's say that together. Let us be glad and rejoice. Say it again. See, you don't need to be mad today. You don't need to be sad today. God said, be glad. Will you be glad today? You say, I don't have anything to be glad about. You walked in here, didn't you? You got up out of your bed, didn't you? You had food on the table last night, didn't you? You got clothes on your back, don't you? You might have a penny in your pocket. Can I get an amen? Don't you? God has sure been good to us. Let us be glad. Let us be glad and rejoice. You got a family, don't you? You've been blessed. I've been blessed. Let us be glad and rejoice. Look at verse 7. And give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come. And His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. I'm telling you, it makes a difference living holy now, living godly now. That's the reference there. The righteousness of the saints. That has to do with living a pure life, a holy life, a godly life. The righteousness of the saints. Look at verse number 9. And He saith unto me, right blessed are they that are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Go back to verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. Let's pray. Our God, I thank You, Jesus. You got us with Your double grip. You, God, got a love for us that I can't even understand. Lord, I sure wouldn't continue to love me like You love me. All the things I've done, and even since You've gloriously birthed me into Your family, and how, Lord, like that woman gets preoccupied, Lord, in that account with just busyness, and You just waiting and wanting and desiring us to fellowship with You and just to love You and have a heart for You. And I pray, God, somehow Your Spirit will stir us up today. And Lord, You'll wash us clean with the washing of water by the Word. I thank You now for the Church of the Living God. I thank You, Lord, for New Rocky Creek Baptist Church. Thank You for those who are part of the family of God. Encourage us today. Lord, give us a song to sing today. Lord, may the joy bells of heaven ring in our heart in spite of everything going on around us. Our God, we look to heaven and bless You, because You are the King of glory and You are our Lord and our Savior, and we bless Your holy name and worship You for victory. Thank You for the blood You shed on the cross to pay our sin debt in full. Thank You, Jesus, that You are working in us every day, both to will and do of Your good pleasure. I pray now every stronghold of the devil will be crushed in this place. And Father God, You'll take the chains of doubt and the chains of fear and insecurity and those weights that we carry around, those besetting sins, those things that keep us from running the race and being everything You want us to be. We'll give You glory and praise when all's said and done, Lord, because You alone are worthy. We bless You. We love You now. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. There are several reasons we ought to rejoice in the Lord. Several reasons. And I don't have time probably to list but just one. Really, there was three reasons found in the text. One is because of reasons to rejoice, and then reasons to be ready, and then thirdly, reasons to be righteous. But I only have time probably today to talk about reasons to rejoice found in verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice. Let's say it one more time. Let us be glad and rejoice. Say it with me. Let us be glad and rejoice. One more time. Let us be glad and rejoice. You see, if you read it and you hear it, maybe you think God wants you to do it instead of just listen to me. Read the word, hear the word, study the word, meditate on the word, memorize the word. It's got God's life and power. Can I give you some reasons why we ought to rejoice in the Lord? See if you agree with me now. I know it's been cloudy. I know it's been rainy. I know it's been cold. I understand it's easy to have the January blues after Christmas and New Year's and the family's gone and things aren't going just good. But I tell you, God's still good. He's still on his throne. He's still coming again. And he's still working in us, and he's still got a plan for us, and we can still rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Will you do it today? Number one, the first reason we ought to rejoice reason is because we got access to the Father. Listen to me. You don't have to go through a telephone answering machine. I don't have to call. If I wanted to call the president, and thank God I don't think I want to. I might want to call him, but not right now. Amen. If I want to call the president or the governor, I would probably not get through. But I want you to know I can call the King of Glory. I can call my Heavenly Father, and he's not too busy for me to call upon him anytime, any day, any place. Access to the Father. Listen to the writer of Hebrews said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Listen to me, beloved. Listen to me. When's the last time you called upon the Lord? When's the last time you said, Jesus, I need just some time with you? Lord, I'm praising God that God gives us access to his throne. You know why else you ought to praise the Lord? You know why else reason you ought to rejoice in the Lord? I'm going to go through the alphabet, okay? B, being baptized in the body of Christ. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 says, as many as have been baptized into Jesus Christ have put on Christ. Y'all listen to me. Listen to me. Look at me. I need you and you need me. We need each other. You might think you're a self-made woman. You might think you're a self-made man. I got news for you. You're not a self-made man. You're not a self-made woman. We are meant to help, and we are meant to minister, and we are meant to interact with each other. I need you. You need me. We need each other. We're the body of Christ. When one falls, hallelujah, we can pick up one. When one needs prayer, we can pray for each other. We can encourage each other. And whether you know it or not, we need each other. I need the Lord, you need the Lord, and we need each other. Thank God in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, God says we're the body of Christ. That is, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Maybe a finger, maybe a toe, maybe a nose, maybe an ear. It doesn't matter, hallelujah. I'd rather serve the Lord than anything I know. I'm telling you, it's going to be worth it all one day when we see Jesus. It'll be worth it. You mark it down. Well, reason to rejoice. You know why you should rejoice today? Because, see, we're complete in him. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, in him we are complete. What does that mean? It means outside of him we're incomplete. I said, it doesn't matter how much money you've got. It doesn't matter how much money a person can earn or have. It doesn't matter how much popularity and prestige and Hollywood and the sports stars and all of that have. Without that completeness in Jesus, he or she will be incomplete. God made you to know him. God made you to have a relationship with him. And that's why the old things of this world, they're not going to satisfy you. You think they will. Watch this, watch this. The world is pumping. The world is pumping all the time through the television, through the media, through the radio. You need this. You got to have this. This will make you happy. Aren't you sick and tired of the world trying to tell you what you need? What we need is Jesus. I mean, all that stuff is like an apple with worms in it. It doesn't thrill you. Sin thrills, but then sin kills. I'm telling you. Listen, we need the Lord. We got to have the Lord. Amen and amen and amen. We're complete in him. That's what Paul said when he wrote to the church of Colossae. He said, in him we are made complete. We are complete. That is to the church of Colossae. By the way, it was a church that he never did visit, but he had special interest, and he emphasized the deity of Christ, and he emphasized the sufficiency of Jesus. How many believe that Jesus is sufficient?
complete.
Reasons to rejoice. I'm complete. Hallelujah. Jesus, you make my life complete. There's something about you that you bring to my life. I couldn't get on my own. I can't get on my own. There's something about knowing I'm in you. There's something about being fulfilling my purpose for being here. Brother and sister, that's what brings contentment. That's what brings satisfaction, is being in the will of God and knowing you're right where God wants you. Amen and amen. Listen to me, reason, rejoice. We've been delivered from the power of darkness, D. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says, He hath delivered us from the power of darkness. He hath translated us in the kingdom of His dear Son. How many have been redeemed by the blood? Let me see your hand. How many, tell the truth now, how many of you, at one time, you were serving the devil? Will you be honest? You were serving the devil at one time. There's only a few of us honest today. Y'all don't look at me like you're so self-righteous. I don't know about y'all, but I was marching down the wide and the broad gate, leading to destruction. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None righteous, no, not one. Whether you're a little child when you got saved, or a grown person you got saved, it doesn't matter. We all deserve judgment. We all deserve to be cast out of the face of God because of our sin. But wait a minute, when I was marching on that wide and broad gate, I was marching to the devil's drumbeat. I'm so ashamed of it, but I'm telling you the truth, I was not caring about God. Matter of fact, you know what? I dare say there's probably one person or two people in this place probably like me. I remember one time in my life, I'm ashamed to say it, but I got to be honest with you. We can play church if we want to, pretend like we want to, but then leave like a Pharisee if you want to. But can I be honest with you? There was a time in my life where I didn't care about the church. There was a time in my life where I didn't care if the church succeeded or didn't succeed. And there's some of you sitting here right here today. You're just like that. You don't care about the church. You don't care what kind of witnesses has in this community. Hey, do you really care about the church of the living God? Are you really concerned about the Lord's work? At one time, I didn't care. I didn't care. I didn't give a flip about this and that. I just was my own person doing my own thing. I just described to the average person and many people sitting in church today. It's not all about me. It's all about Him. Hello. We have been delivered from the power of darkness. Can I tell you a reason to rejoice? E, we have everlasting life. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Listen, my friend, listen, brother and sister, I know we take it for granted, and today we just kind of sit comfortably. But when's the last time you said hallelujah, stood by a bedside, or stood by a person who was dying, knowing they had a place prepared in glory, knowing that eternity is too long to be wrong? Listen to me, beloved. But listen, eternal life, everlasting life means forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You and I will spend eternity somewhere forever and ever. And it's something to rejoice in today. Jesus said, don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you, but rejoice in your names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Every once in a while, I like to see somebody, speaking of Sister Joyce, I just thought about it just now. Every once in a while, we just kind of, and this is the way it is, I've noticed through the years, it's easy for us to go through things in life, either we're tired or we're not, maybe we're preoccupied about this or that, and all of a sudden, somebody will stamp their testimony. It's like, wow, Joyce was good about that, wasn't she? Everybody just kind of sit there. It's kind of like one of those blah days, blah. Okay, preacher, okay, music, come on. Let's go, let's do our thing. But then all of a sudden, somebody stand up and say, I thank God Jesus saved me. I praise God I'm not going to hell. I thank God that God's been good to me. And it's like a fire catches in the church. We need people like that every once in a while. Don't get over the fact you've been saved. Listen to me. Don't get over the fact that Jesus has made you a trophy of His grace. Rejoice in the Lord. Let somebody else know about it. Let them know. I once was blind, but now I can see. Hallelujah. Jesus is the light of the world. I'm convinced this community will be turned upside down if we'll get back in love with Jesus and fall in love with Him, return to our first love. We just kind of get complacent about it. But wait a minute, everlasting life. Our sins have been forgiven. F, reasons to rejoice. How many know that your sins have been forgiven? How many have committed a bunch of sins? Let me see your hand. All right, I've committed a bunch of sins, but hallelujah. Ain't that good news? Our sins have been washed away. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. My sins have been thrown in the depths of the sea. God don't remember them anymore. Well, glory, 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 Lord. I'll tell you what, when the devil, he points his finger and accuses us of those sins that have been forgiven, but God says, what sins are you talking about? They're buried in the depths of the sea. I don't remember your sin anymore. And if that don't make you want to shout, nothing will. Have you been forgiven? If you hadn't been forgiven, you don't have anything to shout about. But if you've been forgiven, you know deep down inside, oh, God, you've washed my sins away. The word forgive means to send it away. Ephesians 1:7 says we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Don't get over it, brother. Don't get over it, sister. You've been forgiven. You're no more guilty before the holy God. And that's what ought to cause you to rejoice. That ought to cause you to rejoice. Amen. You ought to be shouting right now. You ought to say, hallelujah. I don't have to pay the penalty of my sin anymore. Hallelujah. I deserve death and hell. I deserve, because the wages of sin is death. But Jesus has paid my sin. I'm glad, thank God, those ugly, hideous, filthy sins I've committed in the past, I'm glad, praise God, the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. There's power in that blood. I'll tell you why you want to rejoice. Because, watch this. The grace of God ought to cause you to rejoice. Can y'all hear me? Do you know what grace is? Grace is God doing for us what we don't deserve. And if that don't cause you to want to shout, if that doesn't want to cause you to say, hallelujah, God, you deserve to me what I don't deserve. Our problem is we think we deserve it. But when we get a glimpse of His glory, when we understand who He is, who we are, what He's done, watch this. It's not what we've done, hallelujah, it's what He's done. Hey, it's not where I've been, but it's where I'm going. Glory be to God. I've got a mansion in glory. I'm telling you, we ought to rejoice today. I've read the last page. I'm on the winning team. Hallelujah. I know how this thing's going to end up. I'm telling you, this old government's crooked. This old government's marred. And things in the White House and in the courthouse, everywhere around America, it's messed up. Not everywhere, but a lot of places. But then I open this blessed book right here, and I say, my hope is not built on the White House. My hope is not built on the government. My hope is built on the Word of God. Glory, glory. That's right. That's right. That's why we ought to rejoice in the Lord. Let us be glad and rejoice. Give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come. His wife hath made herself ready. How many believe that God's grace is sufficient every day? You got some troubles on your shoulder, don't you? You got some problems. You've got, hey, watch this. Some of you have been going through some real difficulty in your life, hadn't you? You faced some real big giants in your life. You've been having troubles and trials. You didn't, watch this. You didn't think you could make it through. You didn't know how you'd make it through. But God came to you and said, my grace is sufficient for you. He said, whatever you face, my grace is sufficient for you. Hey, you ought to rejoice. Lord, how can I go through that? Lord, how can I endure? How can I keep a good attitude? Lord, how can I keep serving you? All the devil's hit me with. All that I've been through. But God, I know you're sustaining me. Watch this. I know you're holding me together. Lord, if you wasn't holding me together, I'd have fallen apart a long time ago. Woo! Woo! I'm telling you, sir, you think you're holding it together. You let the bottom fall out, my brother, and you'll come to pieces just like a puzzle comes to pieces. I'm telling you, you let the bottom fall out. You think you're big and strong now. You think you're self-sufficient now. You think you've got everything together now. You let the bottom fall out. You cry out to God, oh God, pull me through. I'm not as big as I thought I was. I'm not as bad as I thought I was. I'm not as strong as I thought I was. Lord, I need heaven's help. You're going to need it. I said, you're going to need it. Your time's going to come when the storm's going to blow.
and the wind's going to blow, and we all are going to have to cry out to God, "Hey, God, I thank you. Your grace is available. It's available for you today. There's some things you hadn't figured out right now. There's some stuff you're up against today. You say, Lord, how in the world can I face this? How can I go through it?" God says his grace is available. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, Titus 2:11. His grace is abounding, Romans 5:20. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. His grace is amazing, Ephesians 2:8-9. By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. The gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, I praise God for his amazing grace, his abounding grace. You see, our sin was like this, but God said, my grace is way up here. It superabounds. Hallelujah. Did you hear about the man that went to get a shave at the barbershop? He got a shave, and there's a lady that worked at the barbershop named Grace. Can you imagine a lady that worked at the barbershop named Grace? She shaved that man. Speaking of shaving. I won't call any names, but speaking of shaving. She got shaved. Speaking of shaving. Anyway, she shaved that man. He did not have to go. He looked in the mirror the next day. His whiskers were gone. The next day, his whiskers were gone. The next day, his whiskers were gone. For 2 solid weeks, he looked in the mirror and he didn't have to shave not a single day. He couldn't believe his eyes. He went down to the barber shop and said, "Man, I can't explain this. What in the world's happened here?" He said, "I got shaved about 2 weeks ago and I hadn't had to shave since. What do you explain it? How can you deal with this thing?" And they said, "Well, who was it was shaved?" They said, he said, "Grace shaved me." They said, "No wonder. Once shaved by grace, always shaved by grace." God's grace. Oh, listen, brother. Jesus is the healer of our soul. How many of you have been through some hard times in your life? How many of you have had some hard times growing up in your life? How many have been abused as a child in your life? Come on, talk to me. Get real. Hey, Jesus, I can tell you there's reason to rejoice. He's our healer. How many believe that God can heal the deepest hurt? Listen to me. God can heal your hurt, sir. God can heal your hurt, ma'am. God knows how to heal. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. The word of God declares, "He took upon our infirmities, bore our sicknesses, and with his stripes we heal." Healing for the past, help for the present, and hope for the future. How in the world could you go through what you've been through? The devil would have killed a lot of people by now. But you say, "It's my Jehovah Rapha. He's the God who heals." He heals not only spiritually, but he heals physically. How many believe in physical healing? Oh, yeah. He's able to heal bodies. By the way, he made us last time I calculated. If he made us, surely he can fix us. Amen. He's a great physician. I'm not against doctors and medicine, but I want you to know Jesus is the healer. Lord, I want to rejoice today. I want to rejoice today that God, when I've been sick, and you know, over the last month or so, brother, how many have been sick? Let me see your hand. With this flu virus and with this upper respiratory. One of our dear men sent me a text message this morning at 7 o'clock. Said, "Pastor, I'm not going to be there today. I've got this upper respiratory situation." I said, "Man, I know how you feel. I had it last Sunday and for about a solid week. And man, I tell you, what? When you get to feeling better, it makes you want to say, hallelujah, God's good." Oh, yes, it does. I'll tell you what else. Reason to rejoice. Our inheritance. When's the last time you thought about our inheritance? Can y'all hear me? Inheritance. Inheritance. Have you thought about an inheritance? How many have ever gotten an inheritance from a grandpa, grandmother, or granddaddy, or a parent? Have y'all ever got an inheritance? I feel sorry for y'all, amen. An inheritance. Peter writes and says, we've got an inheritance that's undefiled. Nobody can take this inheritance away. I'm telling you, this is what money can't buy. The world can't give it. God's inheritance for his children. Can I tell you something? God said, you got inheritance, sir. You ought to rejoice in the Lord because you got inheritance, ma'am. You got inheritance, ma'am. You ought to thank God because God says, I've got something waiting for you when you get to glory. Hands didn't build it. By the way, won't it be wonderful to get to glory and not have to suffer any more sickness, no more pain? Can I get an amen? Wow. Think about it now. No pain, no sickness, no heartache, no tears.
No death. I seem like lately we've been out to graveyard quite often. Can I get an amen? Well, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Listen to me, beloved. Inheritance. When my dear sweet mom passed away, she didn't have much. She called us together, the family. She told me, not only was our son, well, I had the privilege of being her son, but I was her pastor as well. I shared with you, prayed for my mom 22 years before she finally yielded to Jesus. I'll tell you what, if there's nothing else I can rejoice in God today, it's rejoicing my sweet mom's in heaven right now. Woo! Glory! Woo! Thank you, Jesus, for saving mama. Thank you for saving her. Well, glory. I'm looking forward to seeing my mama one day. But you know what my sweet mom said to me? She said, Randy, I'm not the oldest now. I've got three sisters and a brother. And my mom said, I want you to get the family together. I'll never forget it. When she was in the hospital just about a day or two before she passed away, we got the family together. And I said, hey, look. Mama don't have a lot. She just got a little bit here. Not very much, but she said, whatever I got, I'm going to divide it between the five. Just a few dollars, not much. She didn't have much, but hallelujah anyway, amen. She got a mansion in glory. Can I get an amen? A mansion in glory. But I want you to know you got an inheritance. Have you thought about this inheritance? I want you to read the Word of God. God said we got an inheritance. I can rejoice in the Lord today because not only got inheritance, but I'm justified. Now, wait a minute. I've been camping around that whole thought all morning long. You realize what it means to be justified? You realize that God no longer declares us guilty, but not guilty. No more condemnation, no more guilt. And watch this, not only are we declared righteous before a thrice holy God who could not tolerate our sin for one moment, but would have to cast us in the lake of fire, but had it not have been for the mercy and the blood of His Son who took our stead on the cross and became sin for us, God would have to cast us all out into the lake of fire. But because of the love of God, because of the grace of God, the Bible says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this. God not only declares us not guilty anymore, but God puts His righteousness on us and says, there, my child. Woo! Can you beat that? I said, can you beat that? No drug can cause that. No booze can cause that. No illicit relationship can create such that. But God clothes us in His righteousness. Now we are justified. Now we're made holy. Now we are a part of the family of God. Reasons to rejoice, child of God. You've been going around with the mully grubs all week. It's cold outside. I can't get, the sun's not shining. I can't do anything. Reasons to rejoice, all right? Reasons to rejoice. I want you to know, okay, we're kept by the power of God. Write this verse down, Jude 24 and 25. There's only one chapter in the book of Jude. I love the Word of God, don't you? I love to give you the Word of God. I love to give you a good diet of the Word of God. I love to feed you the Word of God on Sunday. Man, I like to fill you up with the Word of God. You know why? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And if you bring your Bible, if you listen, if you take notes, man, you can look up these verses. And I guarantee you this is better than vitamin C. Really? How many believe the Word of God has got life-giving power? Vitamins? Yeah. Write this verse down. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. You know what it says? Anybody tell me what it says? By the way, anybody know who Peter was writing to? By the way, anybody know how many chapters are in 1 Peter? You mean you don't even know how many chapters are in 1 Peter? How many chapters are in 2 Peter? You mean you don't even know how many chapters are in 2 Peter? You're not reading your Bible? I'm just kidding with you, of course. Three chapters in the book of 2 Peter. Fact is, we sit in church all the time, but we're not studying our Bible.
I encourage you to get in the Word of God. It'll get in you, brother, and it'll change you from glory to glory. Our minds are transformed by the Word of God. Listen, I'm not trying to be overbearing with you. We're kept by the power of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. We're kept by the power of God through faith on the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Hey, watch this. God says He's able to keep us from falling. How many believe that the Lord's able to keep you from falling? That's one reason you need to rejoice. Falling into what? Come on, will y'all be honest with me today? How many have been depressed? Don't raise your hand. You've been depressed. It's cold. Man, it's not just cold, it's ice cold. Can I get an amen? Ice cold! By the way, I got good news. It's supposed to rain tomorrow. Hey, man, rejoice in the Lord always. You've been depressed. Christmas is over. How many got debt? You got to go pay your bills now. And it's not fun. That's why you're not happy. That's why you're not witnessing. That's why you're talking. Wait. Last time I read, Jesus is still on the throne in January. I can't hear you. I said Jesus is still on the throne. You're getting older. I'm not going to call any names who's getting older, but somebody's getting older. I'm not calling any names, Nancy, but somebody's getting older. Joy, I'm not going to call any names, but somebody's getting older. But watch, you can still rejoice. He's able to keep us from falling in depression. How many believe He's able to keep us from falling in depression and discouragement? Somebody says, no, I got to go and depend on this and that. Did you hear about the man that went to the doctor? His wife was chronically depressed. Chronically depressed. Don't look at your wife, all right? Chronically depressed. I mean, she was down in the dumps. He went to the doctor. The doctor said, sir, I've examined your wife and she is chronically depressed. He said, for that reason, I'm going to give you the strongest sleeping pills money can buy. He said, good, doc. How often should I give them to her? Doc said, it's not for her, it's for you. You part of the problem. Hello. God's able to keep you from falling in depression. He's able to keep you from falling in discouragement. Yes, He is. I'll tell you what else. L. What is God able to do? He's able to love us with an everlasting love. How many believe you ought to be leaning on the everlasting arms right now? Come on, talk to me. You've been dependent on yourself. That's why you're in a mess. Hello? We get in a mess when we depend on ourselves. But leaning on the everlasting arms. See, we've heard all this stuff. We know it intellectually, but for some reason in our computer and our brain, it's not catching. We're deleting it too quick. It's coming in one ear, but we're deleting it too quick. Let the truth sink in your heart. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says, dwell in you richly. The word dwell is the word oikos. It means be at home. Meditate on it. Chew the cuds. A cow eats his... I was passing some cows this morning. They're eating their hay. They lie down. They chew the cuds. Man, they think about what's been said. Question, how many go home on Sunday and think about what was said? Anybody? Every once in a while, I like to give a test. I said, all right, what did I preach on this morning? Remember when we went out, Carolyn, the other night? And people were rambling, so let's see, what was this text and all this? I'm telling you, so often our minds aren't focused, but wait a minute, it is now. And so let's lean on the everlasting arms. How many got some mountains you need to be moved? Stand to your feet, would you? Stand to your feet. I'm going to just bypass everything else.